Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Rush Limbaugh is asking Republicans to come out and vote for you in order to divide the party.
He's always had a crush on me.
Maybe that's why Rush Limbaugh is asking people in Indiana to go out and vote for Hillary Clinton tomorrow. Maybe. Or maybe there's some other reasons. But that was Clinton on ABC This Week with George Stephanopoulos yesterday. Even as Barack Obama was on Meet the Press at the very same moment. We will hear some of the cross-network cross-talk in a minute and the issues that they explored. But in the meantime, did you know that Clinton won Guam over the weekend? The report I saw said she won the caucuses there by 7 votes. Tomorrow, of course, Indiana and North Carolina, much more important. Clarence Page, Chicago Tribune syndicated columnist, knows some of that Indiana media market and joins us to kick things off today. Hi, Clarence.
How are you?
Good. Did you know about Guam?
No. Last report I saw showed Obama was slightly ahead.
That
was a while ago. You got wire machines there.
Is it Obama? Okay, we're going to double check this. Maybe I've actually got it backwards. But somebody won by 7 votes. The other one should probably demand a recount.
Being that close, maybe they should.
2 issues seem front and center as we double check the Guam result.
Good.
In the dueling Sunday morning interviews yesterday, and they were both long, so a lot of things came up. But I thought that there were 2 where they really kind of, picked apart some differences on some issues, or at least some approaches to issues between Clinton and Obama, a gasoline tax holiday and Iran. Here's Tim Russert asking Obama about Clinton's threat to Iran if it launches a nuclear attack on Israel.
Hillary Clinton was asked about if Iran launched a nuclear attack against Israel. And this is the answer she gave. Let's listen.
Well, the question was, if Iran were to launch a nuclear attack on Israel, what would our response be? And I want the Iranians to know that if I'm the president, we will attack Iran. And I want them to understand that. We would be able to totally obliterate them.
Obliterate them. What do you think of that language?
Well, it's not the language that we need right now. And I think it's language that's reflective of George Bush. We have had a foreign policy of bluster and saber rattling and tough talk. And in the meantime, we make a series of strategic decisions that actually strengthen Iran. The irony is, of course, Senator Clinton, during the course of this campaign, has at times said we shouldn't speculate about Iran. We've got to be cautious when we're running for president. She scolded me on a couple of occasions about this issue. And Yet, a few days before an election, she's willing to use that language.
So that was Russert with Obama on Meet the Press. And just a few minutes later, over on Channel 7.
While we've been on the air here, Senator Obama is giving an interview on another network.
That shall remain nameless.
That shall remain nameless. And he took issue with your language on Iran, which we were talking about a few minutes ago. He says your language about obliterate. He said it's not the language we need right now, and I think it's reflective of George W. Bush.
Well, the question originally, as some may remember, was what would we do if Iran got a nuclear weapon and attacked Israel? And I think we have to be very clear about what we would do. I don't think it's time to equivocate about what we would do. They have to know that they would face massive retaliation.
And listeners, we want to know your reactions to the Clinton and Obama statements there, to Clinton and Obama on the issue of the gasoline tax holiday that Clinton is proposing and Obama is rejecting. 212-433-WNYC. And while you're at it, if you're among the people obsessed with this race and following it very closely, how did you watch ABC This Week and Meet the Press yesterday? And who did a better interview, George Stephanopoulos or Tim Russert, for that matter? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Do you have preferences in the Sunday morning political shows category in general? And what'd you do? Did you flip back and forth? Did you see Tim Russert asked Obama that, and a couple of minutes later, you were back on Clinton and seeing the other thing? 212-433-9692 with Clarence Page from the Chicago Tribune Syndicate. Clarence, how did you watch these things yesterday, if you did?
Well, I watched them with great interest, being the political junkie that I am, and I thought that was a very telling exchange that you picked out there because of several issues, foreign policy, national security, whether or not one is going to be tough on terrorism, tough on Iran, without being too tough, the cowboy diplomacy of George Bush. So a number of things were touched on there.
Because that was really just about the language. And I think what could be lost in that exchange is that Obama, when Russert pressed him, did say, yeah, of course, if Iran launched a nuclear attack against Israel, we would retaliate. But, I would have liked to hear Russert press him a little at that point on. So what language would you use to make that very clear to him? But I guess this is all over using the word obliterate, even if they have the same policy.
Well, it's about that. And also, you notice Obama made a reference to how he'd been criticized by Clinton in the past. That was for his saying something,
that he would negotiate with Ahmadinejad with no preconditions, or the Pakistan thing?
Right, and the Pakistan thing, which has been construed as him saying he wants to invade Pakistan. That's what Hillary Clinton and others have taken from his statement. But he was being reasonable, as she was, in saying that he would go after bin Laden if the Pakistan government did not act, and we had actionable intelligence telling us where he is. That's the same policy that George Bush has, and has even acted on it in recent months, going after top Al-Qaeda leaders.
In Pakistan, yeah.
In Pakistan, right. And so this is Obama taking the same kind of criticism, or giving the same kind of criticism of Hillary Clinton, and the word obliterate, saying that she sounds like the cowboy diplomacy of George Bush. This is where you have to go for the two of them are so much alike in so many ways, policy-wise, that nuances make a difference, because remember, they are still trying to appeal to Democratic voters, with the main issue being who is best equipped to beat the Republicans in November. So that's why these parsing of words mm-hmm. take on great significance.
Right, and if you're going to completely parse the original Hillary statement there, it wasn't "we would obliterate you," which indicates wiping out the entire population, not just changing the government. It is "we have the ability," or "we are able to obliterate you."
Exactly.
Do you think that's a meaningful difference?
Well, it is meaningful in the sense that, when George Bush said, wanted dead or alive, and that kind of Old West talk, he was stating policy. Yes, we do want bin Laden dead or alive, but you're not supposed to say it, because that's the world of diplomacy. You're supposed to couch it in diplomatic terms. And that's what Obama is saying about Hillary Clinton, that she shouldn't just say, well, we have the ability to obliterate you. Of course we've got that ability, but
you don't say
diplomatic
it that way.
Etiquette
yeah.
to say it.
So Joy in Upper Saddle River has an opinion about that. Hi, Joy. Joy? Joy in New Jersey, you're on the air. I think maybe.
I'm here.
Oh, now we got you. Sorry, our fault.
I thought we lost New Jersey.
Right. So
be careful where you're going with that, Clarence.
Right.
Joy, go ahead.
Yeah. So I listened to the Obama interview. I didn't hear the Clinton interview, but I heard that little snippet about Iran, and I definitely agree with that. I think she made a very strong, clear statement, and it upped my opinion of her.
Take us one level deeper into it. Is it because you're a supporter of Israel and it makes it perfectly clear that she would bring the United States to the defense of Israel in such a horrendous situation, or is it something more than that?
That's probably a large part of it. And I just like the idea that she wasn't, she didn't equivocate. She just came right out and said what she would do, and I respect that.
Joy, thank you very much. And does it matter to you that that Obama, you said you were watching the Obama interview, the fact that he said, well, of course we would retaliate against Iran under his administration, too, under such a circumstance. He just doesn't think it's good to use that word. Does that make him, you know, less of a defender of Israel to you, Joy?
Maybe to some extent, yes.
Because
I did hear it that way.
Yeah.
I hear what you're saying, and he did say that. However, there was something about the clarity and the strength of, Clinton's statement that I thought was effective.
So, clarity and strength are your words there. Joy, exactly. Thank you very much. Tony in Windsor Terrace has a different view of this, I think. Hi, Tony.
Hi. It seems to me that Hillary Clinton's been getting a lot more conservative and going after the conservative vote, especially with the gasoline tax, which says a lot about her commitment to the environment. So is it possible she's going after people who are converting from Republicans to Democrats just to vote in this primary?
Or are they going to vote for her because Rush Limbaugh has a crush on her? Tony, thank you for the call. And Clarence Page, what about that? Indiana is a state that is said to be a toss-up. It's very important. She needs to win, even though the delegates are proportional, like all the other Democratic states. And, you know, maybe she'll win by a few delegates or lose by a few delegates. It still seems to be psychologically very important to the continuation of her campaign for her to come out on the plus side. Do you think it is, Clarence?
Well, she's made an issue out of the fact that she has won the big states, except for Illinois, Obama's home state.
Indiana, in terms of the big state, right?
Say, is it a big state?
It's not that big a state, right?
Well, you're going after nuances of difference. It's probably the biggest state left, as I recall, in Indiana and North Carolina, both large states.
Yeah.
And
but it's got less than half the delegates of Pennsylvania, for example.
Well, before I get into quibbling about that, I think what's more important is the fact that it's a reasonably large state next to Illinois.
Okay.
And he has won other adjoining states. He won Iowa. He won Wisconsin. He's been strong in that region. If she now wins Indiana, where he had been leading for a while by a small margin, but he's been leading. If she were to win Indiana now, which also, by the way, northern Indiana is within the Chicago TV market, northwestern Indiana, and if she carries that state now, it also implies that Obama's standing has been weakened by the Jeremiah Wright controversy and other recent dust-ups.
To the caller's question, since Indiana is a state where Republicans can show up and vote unannounced on primary day in the Democratic primary. You don't have to pre-register to vote in the other party's primary, anything like that. Any Republican can show up. So since the polls seem to be showing that registered Democrats in Indiana are just about 50-50, which means Republicans could actually swing this election to one or the other, then is she making a calculated approach to Indiana Republicans with these kinds of policies? What do you think?
I think it's more a calculated approach to swing voters. So far, this Rush Limbaugh invitation to step in, for Republicans to step in and cross over and do mischief is not new. He called on them to do that in Texas and other states. And the pollsters have yet to show that there's any measurable difference that's been made by that type of Republican crossover voter. Republicans who have crossover, taken Democratic ballots, are pretty much split. Some of them voted for Obama, some voted for Clinton, and who knows what their reasons are. Maybe they like the candidate. Maybe they think the candidate will be weaker in November. There's just has not been a measurable.
Right. That's the Limbaugh reason, is that,
right.
And I don't know if I believe that he believes it, but he says that Clinton would be the weaker candidate in November, and that's why he wants Republicans who can vote in Democratic primaries to vote for her.
Right.
Or it could just be that he wants this process to go on as long as possible, where the Democrats keep beating each other up.
Or
in order for that to happen.
Ratings, and we know that's true. But, you know, it's significant, though, because that argument that Clinton was the weaker candidate was a stronger argument a few weeks ago than it has been recently, because Obama has slipped in those polls as well. So that they're, depending on which you look at. In fact, the New York Times latest poll shows that Obama is starting to catch up again in recent days as someone being viewed as a stronger candidate against John McCain.
Now, the other issue that the caller mentioned was the gasoline tax, which he also sees as pandering on the part of Clinton.
The gas tax holiday.
Gas tax holiday, to be absolutely accurate. So let's play clips on that from Meet the Press and ABC this week. Again, we go first to Tim Russert with Obama. Let's check it out.
Hillary's plan? Use the windfall profits of the oil companies to pay to suspend the gas tax this summer. Barack Obama says no, again. People are hurting. It's time for a president who's ready to take action now.
Why are you against giving taxpayers in Indiana, North Carolina, a relief from the federal gasoline tax this summer?
You're right, Tim. This defines, I think, the difference between myself and Senator Clinton. This gas tax, which was first proposed by John McCain and then quickly adopted by Senator Clinton, is a classic Washington gimmick. It is a political response to a serious problem that we have neglected for decades. Here's the upshot. You're looking at suspending a gas tax for 3 months. The average driver would save 30 cents per day for a grand total of $28. That's assuming that the oil companies don't step in and raise prices by the same amount that the tax has been reduced. And by the way, I have some experience on this because in Illinois, we tried this when I was in the state legislature, and that's exactly what happened. The oil companies, the retailers, were the ones who ended up benefiting.
You voted for it.
I did, exactly.
When gas is only $2 a gallon.
And that's my point. I voted for it, and then 6 months later, we took a look, and consumers had not benefited at all. But we had lost revenue.
So you learned from a wrong vote.
I learned from a mistake.
So that was interesting. Clarence Page, very briefly, that was the first time I ever heard that particular statement of a mistake from Obama on that particular issue.
I don't very often hear that from any candidates, admitting they made a mistake.
All right.
I think, frankly, Brian, I think this is interchange, this issue, history will look back on as being maybe the most significant at this point in the campaign because it touches on a number of things. For one thing, it shows a distinct difference between Clinton and Obama on the issue. Secondly, a distinct difference in the appeal because you noticed Obama's long answer there, very good answer, but it's not an easy one to put on a bumper sticker.
Right.
Whereas Hillary Clinton and John McCain have both taken the position that, well, yeah, maybe it won't do any good, but you got to show ordinary folks that you care that they want some relief. So we're going to try this anyway.
Right. And to
and
be
Obama
fair,
Obama has already shown that not only is it not likely to work, but he knows from experience that it doesn't work and is counterproductive.
And to be fair to Clinton, in the Clinton ad that clip started with, she makes a point of saying the oil companies are going to pay for this gasoline tax holiday under her proposal. Whether she could actually ever bring that about in Congress to institute a special windfall profits tax on the oil companies to suspend the gasoline tax for drivers, you know, is an open question. But McCain's...
Well, in the Bush administration, forget it, right?
Right. And, and
this session, forget it.
And by Memorial Day, which last I looked is like 3 weeks away, but the McCain version does not have the windfall profits tax. So that's right. How she's saying she's not the same as John McCain on this. Now, back to ABC This Week, where Clinton was the guest in a town hall format. And here is a woman, a voter in Indiana, who challenged her on her stand.
Yeah. Senator Clinton, I actually make less than $25,000 a year. So talking about gas prices is not academic for me. I really do feel pain at the pump. However, I do feel pandered to when you talk about suspending the gas tax. I don't think that it's really a reasonable plan, and call me crazy, but I actually listen to economists because I think that they know what they've studied. You say that you have both a short and a long-term plan for our energy consumption. However, since a suspension of the gas tax would encourage continued overconsumption, which could possibly cancel out any price savings and also undermine our efforts to curb global warming, and your long-term plan includes trying to, say, curb global warming, don't you feel that these two plans are in conflict?
No, and, you know, actually, I'm glad you asked this question because I want to make it very clear that we're talking about short-term relief and a long-term plan. And I have a very comprehensive long-term plan to reduce our dependence on foreign oil, increase the mileage of our automobiles, and to do it in a way that will push us forward as a leader in the world again, which we have not been, on the issue of global warming. But if you are driving on average in America this summer, you'll save, according to the Department of Energy figures, about $70. If you are a long-distance commuter, and a lot of people in Indiana and North Carolina are, if you are a truck driver who depends upon your truck for your living, you're going to save a lot more. In fact, truckers will save about $2 billion in fuel costs. You see, I really believe we've got to start right now demonstrating a willingness to take on these oil companies.
All right, substantial question, substantial answer.
Right.
As we continue to eschew the soundbite approach on this program, we had about 2 minutes there of that voter plus Hillary Clinton.
And doesn't that voter about sound a minute, like an minute, Obama supporter?
Pardon me? Sound like an Obama supporter, yes, with a nice sarcastic touch, don't you think?
Yeah, and she sounds like somebody who graduated college. And that's been Obama's blessing and curse in this campaign recently, as Hillary Clinton has played the elitist card, saying that he is an elitist. Well, I'm for the people,
yeah.
And that's why this gas tax issue cuts so significantly there, because it is a statement hey, I'm going to give you a few bucks here. You're going to have this savings. That's what she just said. You're going to have the savings. Obama
right. Points
out that simple economics, and every major economic expert says that you're not going to save money.
Right. And Clinton couldn't cite, when asked, even one economic expert who
right. Says
this is a good idea. But she framed it as she is running against the elitists,
right?
In meaning right. the economists, and by implication,
and
Barack
that's
Obama.
And the power is for winning voters over. You know, just like the woman said earlier, a strong statement of support for Israel is what counts for people who care about Israel's security, as we all should. And the same thing with the gas tax. You know, a strong statement of, hey, I'm gonna lower these prices. Even though you know that the oil companies are probably
right.
going to bump
right.
them back up again.
Right. So we did that clip. We did 2 minutes of Obama with Russert before that. Clinton on Iran, Obama on Iran, and, of course, the Hillary Rush crush. And I want to thank Clarence Page, syndicated columnist for the Chicago Tribune, for joining us and talking about the election today. Hi, thanks a lot, Clarence.
Thank you for having me.
And the conversation continues on our webpage, where it is going full steam. So go to WNYC.org and click on Brian Lehrer Show and talk about these issues. Talk about your experiencing watching Clinton and or Obama on the Sunday talk shows. And who do you like better? Post it. Russert or Stephanopoulos? Brian Lehrer Show, once you go to WNYC.org. And we'll talk about Vito Fisella, who the Daily News headline this weekend called Vino Fisella, in a minute.